The Zondo Commission continues to rumble on. Karen Moore has an excellent article which you can find on Business Live today around the background of that commission, and it is it's staggering. 779 million rand price tag. Just take a deep breath and think about that. By the time Zondo's done, it might cost us a billion rand. Now, I know many billions were lost in state capture, but to basically just investigate state capture, not charge or prosecute, we could have a tag as high as a billion rand by the time it's done. It's well worth reading the article. It picks through all the details, where the money's gone. A comparison, for instance, with Judge Willie Cerruti's arms deal inquiry. Boy, that was a waste of money. That cost 140 million rand. Karen Moore joins me now, a writer for Business Day, News 24 and Financial Mail. Karen, a very good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Okay, this is a staggering price tag. I presume most of it went into lawyers' pockets.
Correct. I mean, it's around, I think, several hundred million rand went towards investigators and legal fees, which is quite staggering when one considers that the budget, I think, for the NPA's investigating directorate is something like 165 million rand a year. However, the Justice Department officials that I spoke to were pained to stress that, you know, this needed to be seen as an investment in the criminal justice system, of course, because of those regulations signed off by President Cyril Ramaphosa, which effectively allow cooperation between the inquiry investigators and the NPA. But in an austerity environment, in the kind of economic situation that South Africa finds itself, I think the inquiry will be under considerable pressure to prove that it was, in fact, worth that level of expenditure.
And that would only be demonstrated if there were prosecutions that were successfully based on evidence given at the Zondo Commission.
Well, correct. I mean, obviously, there has been a lot of evidence that the inquiry has uncovered. We know that the Free State asbestos case, for example, was basically founded on evidence uncovered by the Zondo inquiry in terms of the massive elevation of 21 million rand worth of work to a 230 million rand tender, which, of course, on the version of some of the evidence led in the Zondo inquiry, appears to have been given to the ANC and into certain politicians' pockets. Of course, they dispute any wrongdoing in that matter. Of course, the Steiner case still not in court. Big question marks over what will happen there. But, you know, there are three prosecutions at this stage which can be linked to the evidence given by the state capture inquiry. But, of course, no convictions as yet. We're still very much early in the processes of those trials.
Karen, where are we up to? What is the timeline now around Zondo? A lot of focus on when President Zuma is due to appear next, and then when does this all wrap up, and when do we have a final report?
Well, essentially, the High Court in Johannesburg gave an order which said it was a final extension, that the work of the inquiry is due to wrap up on the 31st of December, and the report is due on the 31st of March. Now, you know, that is going to be a pretty tall order, but given that the court has turned around and said this is the final extension, the judge in that matter saying that it was really in the public interest that this matter be, you know, dealt with and finalized, given that the original inquiry that was sort of ordered by Thuli Madonsela was meant to be 6 months and was supposed to look at quite a limited set of issues. This one has obviously traversed a number of factors that weren't in that initial recommendation that she put forward because of its kind of terms of reference. But ultimately, it needs to produce a final report. And given that so many of the implicated parties, including, as you mentioned, the former president, major question marks over if and when they will in fact appear in answer to those charges or the allegations made against them, it's really quite questionable as to what the state of that final report will actually be.
And one of the very prominent figures, Duda Mwiyane, due to appear very shortly.
Yes, I mean, she is expected to answer questions, particularly in relation to the allegations around Bosasa providing security installations to her home, her role in the Jacob Zuma Foundation, which we've also know the inquiry has sought information about, particularly in regards to these averments that Bosasa may have made donations to it. We know, for example, that it funded a birthday party for Jacob Zuma, Dudu Mwiyane signing off on a letter thanking it for those funding of that particularly lavish birthday party, estimated to cost several million rand. So she will face questions about that. Mike, big question marks, however, over whether she will in fact answer those questions. We saw how she conducted herself in terms of that litigation about her fitness to be a director. And certainly the evidence leader in that particular matter going to face a lot of uphill traffic in terms of getting her to answer those questions.
Can't afford to appear unemployed, too busy, take your pick on reasons why she may well not appear. And you've given in your article today a long list of people who we still need to hear from, like Brian Malefi, Anno Singh, Ace Magashule, Bernie Mtlemeza, Tom Moyani, Lucky Montana, and Jacob Zuma himself, people who have appeared maybe once, need to appear again. If they're going to get this done by the end of the year, this is going to get hectic.
Well, they're under considerable pressure. And remember, we're also facing the very real possibility of a legal challenge by the former president in terms of, you know, his application to see the DCJ recuse himself, which, of course, will not happen. Zondo will definitively not do that. And, of course, President Cyril Ramaphosa also expected to testify about Bosasa. He's previously said he would do so. The list goes on and on. And one has to wonder what the legal implications are, Mike, if people who are very seriously implicated actually don't get their opportunity to come and testify. You know, there will obviously be a lot of emphasis placed on the forensic evidence that is uncovered and what it displays. But certainly politically speaking, if people aren't given their opportunity to address the claims against them, I think that will be a further ground for political attack on an inquiry which is already very much at the center of a lot of political legal disputes at this point.
And this very bizarre request for recusal from Jacob Zuma because of personal compromise. We now have the details of that from Judge Zondo. It's strange stuff, isn't it?
Well, Jacob Zuma yet to actually file his recusal application. I mean, the inquiry pointing that out in its statement yesterday that, you know, it's been a month since he said he would seek this recusal of the DCJ. Yes, and he said in his original application, didn't name this relationship between the DCJ and his now estranged wife's sister as the basis for this alleged personal history dispute that they had. But the DCJ now coming out and saying, you know, he in fact had a child with, you know, the former president's estranged wife, Torbeka, who, of course, we know is at the center of a number of other media reports in regard to Jacob Zuma's money, which, of course,
we're losing the line there with Karen Moore, and sadly, we're going to have to end that call there because the line has got poor. But writing for Business Day News 24 and Financial Mail today on Business Day Live, I really recommend her piece. Gives you a lot of background on the Zondo Commission.